Good evening, Matt.
Hi, Jan.
Here we are, live from Ordinary Miracles.
Hello, America.
Matt Kramer and Jan Sircone. Matt, this is our second show, and I'm getting a sense people might not really know us yet, so we should probably take a minute or so and reintroduce ourselves.
And re-expose ourselves.
Well, first of all, we're here in Cotati, California, and we're calling the show Live from Ordinary Miracles because Matt and his naturopathic wife, Treya Palmer, have a fabulous shop here that features...
Well, Treya's services as a naturopath, my services as a voice map practitioner, and some of the best health supplements you cannot buy over-the-counter. So it's kind of a exclusive little store open by appointment only. And occasionally we present musical concerts on Sunday afternoons. So it's a hybrid little space full of life, light, music.
Speaking of life, you surprised me a few minutes ago. We were going to do a sound check, and you not only brought out a guitar, but you really play it.
I've been practicing.
I was quite impressed. Yeah, so it's coming soon. There was Jan and Matt Kramer. Yeah, Jazz Hour, who knows?
Yeah. We have to learn how to, maybe Don, who owns this radio station, can tell us how to deal with miking music and then transforming it into telephone transmission. So I know there's a little science and art there.
So the whole thing about our program is sound healing, so we could get those transmissions and frequencies out in a pure form for our listeners we know be that much more effective. Okay, now speaking of frequencies, what's the most important thing you sell in this store? What lifts my mood immeasurably?
What came to mind was I forget.
Your high-end chocolate, of course.
Oh, thank you.
A dollar for
healthy.
A tiny little square. Your healthy, fabulous chocolate.
Healthy chocolate full of, not radicals, the anti-radicals.
Anti, yep.
Of course, for some reason, I'm being tongue-tied tonight.
Well, my problem is I just had a cranial sacral treatment and a massage, so thank goodness we have a fabulous guest who can talk and talk and talk all the wonders of the universe. In a few minutes, we'll be introducing our artist in resonance, the wonderful Randy Masters of Aptos, California, and he's waiting on the line. So,
well, since he's waiting and we're paying him by the minute, we probably should get him on as soon as possible.
No, I have to introduce me first.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
my turn.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, this is the divine masculine feminine balanced, right? Equal time. I'm Jan Sircone, and you can read about my work on the website. I'm a sound practitioner, a certified music practitioner. I work mainly with the voice. And if you listened in last week, you would know that I work with the voice bio, which can plot the frequencies of a person's body, and we can take a look at that health-wise and make some changes energetically. And Matt works with the voice bio, so actually we kind of...
Well, I work with voice mapping.
With the voice mapping. So we work together. We can refer and work with clients together in that. So.
And we can take calls tonight.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Randy is great, great with calls. He'd love to answer your calls. I wanted to make an ID on the opening song. It was from an album, As Above, So Below, that I was fortunate enough to collaborate on with Randy Masters, Eric Bates, and Mark on his bazintar, and we will be playing a selection of the bazintar a little bit later, but that's As Above, So Below, Ancient Tunings and Scales with the bazintar, and I'm going to have Randy talk a lot about that, and we'll give you some contact information. And if you wanted to get a copy of that, you could get that at CD Baby.
Okay.
Well, Matt, let's go through what was the best thing that happened today and what was the worst thing that happened today.
Well, the best thing that happened was a client came in for a voice map session, which normally takes about an hour and a half. And normally there's four rounds of recording your voice. The frequencies are fed back to you for about a six-minute session. And through that 6 minutes, you're meditating, you gain insights. And through the course of four rounds, people make some significant progress in going deep into emotional history and releasing stress and trauma and things like that. And this client worked with us before. She knew how to work with the system. And after two rounds, she had a significant enough release that she was very happy. You know, it's just a nice surprise. I call it working the chair when somebody works the system well enough to know how to run it for themselves. So that was the best thing. What was your best thing today, Jan?
I'm actually happy to say that in the world of emotions, I had a neutral day. There was nothing that totally was negative, and everything felt fairly good, so I guess it was pretty positive. I did have kind of a flat cafe latte, but that in the peaks and valleys of life, that wasn't too terrible.
Well, in the concept of Thich Nhat Hanh, were you totally present in the moment?
I was totally present, and I said, this sucks. For $3 for a cafe latte, this does not get it, and I can't wait to get to Matt's store and have a nice little piece of chocolate there. So that leads us to introducing our wonderful guest, Randy Masters, a popular guest on Sound Healing shows, Fred Bell's show. He's been with David Gibson and Sound Healing Radio. And I just received the email today, and so now I can do an official introduction. Randy has an extensive background in the nature of sound and the geometrical foundations of our universe. He teaches about the resonant unified field and the universal language of numbers. He is an in-depth researcher on the pyramids, sacred sites, and mathematical language of light and the harmonics of sacred numbers. And believe me, he is able to pull the most essential facts of all of these fields together and make it come alive in a way that you're glad you're human, and you're glad you're a human in this particular time frame. And we'll be talking about that tonight. Specifically, I'm going to ask him about how sound can be used in our body, not just for healing and releasing, but for our consciousness and ascension and spirituality. And he is one of the leaders in this field. He has also been a professional composer, recording artist. He gives fabulous sell-out workshops throughout the Bay Area. He has presented at every major sound healing convention. He's also a teacher at the Psychoacoustics Institute, and I will say that's where I met him. He was actually my teacher. It was just really fun being a student there and learning all about tuning forks, and it certainly changed my life. One other interesting thing, Randy also has a distinction. You may have heard of an author named Susan Shire, and she authored a book, Soul Mastery, where she types the different personalities and what you've brought to Earth on this time as far as awakening other people. And she gave Randy the title of having been the being who has visited the most places in the universe and beyond. So, without further ado, a very multidimensional galactic being, we welcome Randy Masters to our show.
Thank you, Dan and Matt. Hello, everybody out there in Radio Land.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So what's the best thing happened to you today?
The best thing that happened to me today, well, I just had dinner with one of my dear friends that I teach with, Dr. Mohsen Hermanis, who's one of the world's great natural architects that uses sacred geometry, and we put our class on color that we're going to be doing on October 27th and 28th, class on color and sound and everything about color together. So that was lots and lots of fun. That was one of the best things, I think.
I've heard you talk about Mohsen quite a bit. To give us an idea, I know you and Mohsen have done some amazing collaborations on geometry, patterns, and some of the projects that you're coming up with that are not just sound-related, but you use terms like shape resonance and things that can affect your home for more well-being. Can you tell us some of the projects that you and Mohsen have been?
Well, as you know, we each just got one of those flow forms to work with in our homes, and Mohsen has just designed an extraordinary flow form. These were originally done based on Victor Schauberger's vortex understandings and the natural flow of water and the nature of the geometry of flow and vortex. And he's designed some really outstanding geometric flow forms that have never been made to this level.
In layman's terms, can you tell our audience what flow form means?
Well, basically, it's a geometric structure made out of different materials that when water flows in it, and other liquids as well, they are restructured because of the geometric pathway that they flow in. And often toxins are removed and the water becomes purified because of its geometric pathway. And this is based on the study of how when humans do not interfere with the flow of water and the way water naturally flows, there's a geometry that keeps it coherent and alive and full of vitality and actually purified because of its pathway. It's fascinating work in the geometry and water and flow and what it is to observe nature and allow nature's intelligence to help us have a cleaner and more pristine world when humans don't interfere.
It's interesting that you say geometry, because just this morning I had a guest over, Amy Hallows, and she works with Dr. Emoto. She's Dr. Emoto's photojournalist. And I was showing her the flow form of Anthroposophical Origins that Jeff Edelheit carries at Restorative Technologies here in Sonoma County. And I was running the fountain, and I said, look, isn't this amazing? And it cleans. And she said, well, you can see why. And I looked, and I hadn't really looked at it before, but the water was traveling in an exact figure eight. So the form was making it go into one leaf, and then it naturally swirled around, and it was a very repetitive geometric pattern.
Yeah, they're very beautiful geometries that they create. And so this is by observing nature and paying attention to these details of the way nature works, this is what human beings need to be doing, is copying nature rather than trying to improve on nature.
Mm-hmm.
The improvement on nature generally comes out of a fear and separation with nature, feeling like it's not sufficient or something to that effect. But mm-hmm. actually, nature has all the intelligence needed that if we assist and go along with nature, nature shows us exactly how to have our world be a better, more harmonious and kinder, safer world.
Do you think it actually cleanses the water, or does it actually energize it? Does it raise its frequencies? What do you think exactly happens in that?
Well, it does cleanse it. You know, they have sewer systems based on flow forms, and you put sewage water in at the top, and it flows through this geometric pathway, and at the end it comes out pristine, drinkable, clean water.
Where is this?
In the Flowform technologies.
I mean,
and there's a lot of different installations all over the world that have used the Flowform mathematical geometric patterns for purifying wastewater. And they also use them in wineries. They use them in a lot of different kinds of companies that have some type of fluid form, and they also use them for grains and other things. So, in other words, the key to it is the pathway.
Mm-hmm.
And the geometry of the pathway. And there's something about that path. It's like if you were to pour water on the Golden Mean Spiral, you know, from Oz back to Kansas, by the time it got to Kansas, you'd have pristine water because it's flowing along with the Golden Mean proportions, the phi ratio, that type of thing.
So if this is employed in our regular municipal drinking systems.
It can be, yeah. I mean, they have these technologies exist. You know, they're applied in some places if people can get past the politics of it and really truly want clean water in a healthy way. I mean, it's totally available to do this. And it's been around for a long time. So it's a form of harmonics. It's the harmonics of shape and how important shape is structuring aspects of our reality. In other words, shapes have resonance. Everything is the shape that it needs to be according to its function. All the organs in the body, flowers, trees, everything in nature is a shape for a particular reason. There's a super intelligence behind the shapes. And all we have to do is make things in those same shapes, and we're generally improving on our inventions and our designs.
I've heard you use the term structured water. So it seems to me that if it's, the water is flowing past these forms that will have structure, how would then that work taken in to our body, structured water versus unstructured? What do you think the different effect would be?
Well, if you have water in nature that has not been tampered with by humans, by being put through some kind of a system that does not have nature's intelligence in it, then that water already is structured, like glacial water and creeks and fountains and waterfalls and ocean and a lot of different things. As soon as you take water, like let's say that you're at a spa and you want to pump the hot water that's coming up from the earth to different locations in the spa, and you pump that water through pipes that are straight pipes with parallel walls and no screw-like mechanism inside it to keep the vortex. After a foot of passage, that water gets unwound and loses its geometry and actually loses its life force potential.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you take that same water and replace the pipes with a pipe that has an interior screw-like mechanism that keeps the vortex spiraling, then it's possible for that water to pass through the pipe. And on the other end of the pipe, whether you drink it or bathe in it or whatever you do with it, you're able to have water that's vital. They even make sprinkler heads now that where the water comes out in a spiral fashion, and this helps the plants. It takes less water, and the water is more coherent, and it keeps its geometric structure. Mm-hmm. And when you pass water through pipes with parallel walls, like most pipes in the homes and businesses and offices and things like that, you actually are doing a disservice to the water because you are unwinding the natural intelligence and structure of the water.
And so it doesn't have life-giving properties.
Yeah, it strips the life force right out of the water.
Uh-huh. What do you think the potential for this structured water for most listeners, this is an alternative radio station, are working on their frequencies in their body to bring in more light? Would you say that would be an integral important part of having the right types of water, the clarity, the purity, the structured water?
Well, the main thing is that the geometry has to be correct. Otherwise, it cannot penetrate the cell walls. The water will be too large in particles, and it'll roll right by. And somebody drinking the water may drink quarts or gallons, and they may get tired of drinking water or be full, but they're not hydrated. In order for the water to hydrate their body, it has to have a particular geometry that's based on the ionic form or angstrom-sized particles. The normal size particles of water that's unstructured is at least 10,000 times bigger than what the body needs in order to properly hydrate and nourish the body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once somebody can assimilate that type of water, one, they can drink less of it, and two, in getting water of that level of purity and with that level of geometry, it's going to carry the light codes in their body. It's going to communicate and help the whole body's electrical system communication network work properly because water is the key for doing that, as we are, you know, in between like 70 and 80% water average.
Let me ask a clarifying question. Water basically is H2O, so that's one molecule of water. When you're talking about particles of water, you're talking how the different molecules of water cluster together?
Yes. And how they clump or cluster, and how they attract each other and form these really amazing geometric structures that are built on dodecahedrons, icosahedrons, and tetrahedrons.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three basic platonic forms that constitute the nature of the geometry of water.
So that's most conducive to lifting our electromagnetic fields. I read an article channeling today by Chiron, where they're pointing out the recent research shows that our DNA is not little rods, it's actually spirals, circuits that close together. It is an electromagnetic loop, and that our entire being is a whole field of electromagnetic energy. And through induction, another field coming in can actually change that. So that's why we don't want to have negative EMFs, but we can also bring in like pure water in different ways that'll actually lift our electromagnetic field up into a point where we can actually be transmitters into the higher ascension frequencies. And so that it's fascinating how when you say the properties of the water coming in to our electromagnetic fields, that just seems like science is supporting so many of these things that the ancients knew and that were in nature already.
Yeah, much of science has incorrect diagrams of the DNA and how that actually works in general. And it's all based on phi ratios and certain type of vortex structures.
Uh-huh.
And these same phi ratios, like basically 1.618 to 1,
mm-hmm.
the golden mean proportion, or 1 to 0.618, both produce the same proportion. That flows throughout the universe, and that's in the water. So when we hook up to that fractal, meaning we get with the picture or we get in shape with that geometric proportion,
mm-hmm.
then things begin to work right. And that's how the really clear water, clean, structured water is based. It has those golden mean proportions in it,
uh-huh.
based on dodecahedrons and icosahedrons.
A lot of people think that reverse osmosis is the best way to treat their water. What's your take on that?
Well, basically, it's a good way to get a lot of stuff out of the water, but you're still left with a dead water. You don't have a living water. So the question is, you know, what good is water that just has certain pollutants stripped if you don't have the electrical potential, the right surface tension, the right molecular size, being angstrom size, mm-hmm. which is in the ionic form? You basically have another version of altered water. Now, if one has a form of distilled water, and you add your own minerals like the pink Himalayan salt
mm-hmm.
that has most of the key minerals the body needs, then you're putting that electrical potential back in the water. But if you just drink the distilled water, basically, again, you have a dead water. It doesn't have any electrical potential. You know, they put out electrical fires with distilled water.
Oh, my.
It doesn't conduct the electricity. So if you apply that to the human body, you're basically putting a clean, dead water in the body. And it has its point of being able to strip out unwanted minerals that are accumulating. And I'm, you know, saying that there is a responsible place for that. But if you want to then have the correct electrical potential, you have to have the right mineral balance. And then certainly the best, one of the best things that I've found is the pink Himalayan salt because of its content. And the geometric structure of the pink Himalayan salt is a higher order of what true salt is supposed to be.
Well, if you think about it, reverse osmosis water is almost like a vacuum with the fluid. And it just seems to me if you would drink that, it could work reverse osmosis on your body and pull out the health.
Well, there's a point that it does it, but then there's also a point where you can be stripping minerals that you need. So there's a,
mm-hmm.
this has to be done in a harmonious fashion.
So for the folks that own reverse osmosis systems, what would you recommend they do with their water?
I would say to add their own minerals, either in a liquid form or dissolve some of the, like the Himalayan salt, mm-hmm. which is the world's most intelligent salt.
There's some great products out there.
That's what I would say.
Just
there's a lot of
today in your water bottle. And
a lot of different water systems that basically make a clean but dead water. And a lot of them also have other problems in them, even at the distilled or certain levels of distilling don't really take everything out of the water that really should be taken out. And that there's a whole topic. And there's a lot of controversies because, of course, there's a lot of marketing and money is like the water is like the new oil. So not everybody's going to really tell the truth about what's happening in the body from the type of water that they're treated with. You also have to erase the memory. So if you clean the water with reverse osmosis, you are not erasing the etheric memory of whatever was imprinted in that water. And the water can still carry the memory and transfer those imprints to your body. Even chlorine that's been removed with reverse osmosis, if the memory pattern has not been erased with the proper technology, then the water can still convey the memory pattern of chlorine to the body or fluoride and things like that.
We're just beginning to understand through Dr. Moto's work that water carries frequencies, and some of my sound healer friends are taking a bottle of water and setting in the room, doing the sound healing with instruments in their voice and the client, and then they give the client that water that absorbed the sound vibrations just as the client's body, and they send that home almost like a homeopathic follow-up remedy. What do you think about that?
Well, water is like the supreme spiritual witness. Water remembers and records everything that's going on in the thought field. Physically, it's like a super liquid tape recorder. So one must think about that when you think about what you're drinking. Who's been around the water? What did they say and think and do around the water? What did they dump in the water, consciously or unconsciously? Mm-hmm. Water is so vast in what it can do. It's an enormous subject in terms of the true nature of what water is that's beyond H2O. Basically, to me, H2O is just an artifact that shows up from what in the vortex that's created for water. It's far more spiritual and profound, and it reaches into other dimensions besides the 3D.
I like the name of Lex and Sandy Lang's new beautiful water company, H2OM. And Randy, can you tell what is it exactly they do? They're putting music right into the water. Is that?
Yeah, they're adding to the structure of the water through sound and cleaning the water.
Let me say,
and
this is not
imprinting
a paper
certain. Formulas and numerical content into the water to give it a higher order of intelligence to be carried to the body, in a nutshell.
That's wonderful, and you know, these things are...
There's many companies doing things of this type of designer water. And water is so sensitive and so spiritually tuned in that it can pick up these patterns.
Well, let's switch over to some of your music projects. I know that's your first love.
I have a question related to that.
I'm not a water expert, but I love it, and I've done a lot of research on water and a lot on the harmonics of water and converting sound frequencies and finding the way that sound and water can work together. I mean, that's one of the areas that dovetails in with your previous questions.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you looked at correlations between your frequencies and harmonics with water and the music that you compose.
I have not done a lot of music yet, but I have made wind chimes and tuning forks tuned to the different harmonics of water and the different resonant frequencies and converting the spectral analysis of water in all the different states from liquid, frozen, gaseous, vapor, etc. I've gone through the scientific material on that and converted it into sound. And I want to apply it in sound situations and soundscapes. How much it'll sound like music, but certainly be an organized tonal structure, and by that you might call it music. But sometimes it'll also sound more like random, like when I do it in a wind chime. I have wind chimes at my house that are tuned to the water molecule, the basic sound frequencies that create the water molecule. And I've converted all the spectral lines of hydrogen, the visible ones, all into sound, and certainly that's a big component of water. So I'm very fascinated about what the harmonics of water, isolating water as the supreme physical substance that's both spiritual and physical together, and sort of like the mediator between heaven and earth, and then combining that with sound, and I'm continuing explorations in that area. Does that answer your question?
Yes, so the music is to come. The music of the water is coming. But
I'd say at this level it's more sound and sound effects.
If a person were to have tuning forks built on H2O, what use would it? What would they do with those?
Well, ultimately, I would like to see that by listening to the tuning forks, one could make the water in their body more coherent.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good goal. Another one would be to place that on the water they drink and help to clear up the water on a number of different levels by having a sound frequency that really speaks to the water and speaks to the diva of the water and speaks to the inner subatomic structure of the water on a real fine level. They can also be tuned to various types of numbers that will give water particular geometries and particular structures that could have benefits in a far-ranging number of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm looking at what some of those areas could be, what the harmonic and number codes could be that could be put into the water.
You once said that there are frequencies that they found that could actually desalinate water at a certain decimal.
Well, a lot of exploration has been done in changing the mineral content and doing things to water. And certainly, I believe that when we use sound there, we're getting right back into the heart of creation. In the beginning was the word, not sound. So, in other words, we have to find what is the proper use of sound for a desired effect and how can that be long-lasting so that, you know, if the water's put in a bottle, it doesn't become unstructured sitting there in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of research that needs to be done on this, and I've just been fascinated by the nature of creation. And since water is at the heart of the matter, I went way deep into the physics of water looking for harmonic ideas. And we can certainly sing to them, tone to them,
mm-hmm.
and I would think that that would, and of course this has to be measured, would help somebody have a more loving, coherent water in their system, even after they've already drank the water.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it wouldn't necessarily have to be treated before somebody drinks the water. I would think as long as their body is holding that those mm-hmm. liquids, that getting exposed to certain sound fields would structure the water. And they've done scientific work to show that the cells in the body respond to sound big time.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
Well, it's becoming very popular, collecting water from sacred sites and bringing it together. And it just does seem like it's the fluid of Mother Earth. And it's the key, I believe, as part of the Gaia cleansing, that if we cleanse the fluid, just as we keep the fluid within our bodies clear, that really is the key.
So we have to keep it in motion, you know.
The flow. You can
rather than,
vortex.
You know, storing it in a bottle in a way is uh-huh. sort of a more of a static state, and that mm-hmm. is not the way water actually wants to move.
It's that vortex that you keep mentioning, like the mm-hmm. movement of it, that's so important.
The design of the water bottles needs to have particular geometries to enhance the vortex.
Ah.
Just the way the essential oils that were found in King Tut's tomb in Egypt mm-hmm. had specific vortex shapes so that those essential oils were still good after thousands of years.
Well, would you like to talk about your music projects? I know that you have a CD, Inner Visions, and that you had featured ancient scales on that, as well as working with some of these more healing sound archetype intervals in the CD that you and I just collaborated on. Would you like to talk about your Inner Visions project or RCD? What would you like to
Well, the Inner Visions, and just sort of in taking these in order, the mm-hmm. Inner Visions project that I did a couple of years ago featured Joel Andrews on harp playing the 7 original Egyptian modes in the original Egyptian tunings of antiquity. And they found some tablets that were over 3,000 years old that were Babylonian tablets that said, this is how we tune the harp. So I had the harp tuned exactly to that tuning structure and had Joel improvise around 7 to 8 minutes in each of those 7 basic modes, which is like the white keys of the piano going like from C to C is one mode name, and the same white keys going from D to D will have another name. And each of these modes then, by having a certain drone note as a reference tone, produces different emotions and moods. So modes equals moods. So my purpose for that was to establish something as a baseline and create music that had a temple-like atmosphere that could be used for meditating, and you can use it for body work, a lot of different things, as a tool, not necessarily as an entertainment vehicle. Although it is intriguing because Joel is a true virtuoso master of the pedal harp. So, and he's been improvising and doing sound healing for around 30 years. So he definitely played some very intriguing patterns. And by starting with that recording, then I wanted to launch my sound explorations that were not just entertainment music or music for films or music for dancing or anything like that, but music that could be used as a sonic enhancement tool. And these ancient scales have been intriguing me for years, so I plan to do lots of recordings documenting various types of world tuning systems so people could learn to be in tune to, sing along with, play with, experiment with, and find the contribution that these geniuses of ancient history had to contribute and bring it into this new time frame.
Mm.
So then when we move from that particular project into the As Above, So Below, your project, Jan, it was to continue that, but go farther out with tunings and use of crystal bowls and bells and gongs and tuning forks and voice and Mark Deutsch's Bizantar and, you know, playing chords completely with crystal bowls. I think I'm probably one of the first people to do that on a recording.
Well, it was just fascinating. You know, as a sound healer, and I've always toned, and suddenly there was this huge tapestry of ancient, it almost sounded like gongs. Because how did we actually get the sound out? Did you?
Well, by striking them on the side of it, much like you would a bell.
Mm-hmm.
And the ancient Egyptians had quartz crystal bowls that were called carillons.
In ancient?
So, yeah. And they have some in the museums. Don Tolman did research on it. He has it. You can look up white stone carillon. And they were sort of egg-shaped. They didn't have parallel walls, which, again, is similar to the water. Most of the bowls that people are buying have parallel walls.
You know, that's very interesting that you mention that, because my new harmonic bowl from Crystal Tones, it's holographic, they call it. And, of course, it's four times as expensive. But it's egg-shaped, and the sound that it emits is maybe five times the richness and the depth, even though it's only 9 inches. So perhaps that's an ancient design as well, the egg shape, rather than.
Well, it's egg shaped on the bottom, but the walls are still parallel.
Ah.
And the ones that Don Tolman had, which were usually tuned to like F, F sharp, G in that pitch area, were egg shaped, like taking an egg and cutting the top off so that the walls were not parallel. And they're really, that is a superior shape for the physical structure of the bowl. But your bowl has certainly a very warm, beautiful sound to it. I don't know why they use the term holographic. I have to look into that. I don't know if that's a marketing term or exactly what they mean. A lot of terms get added, but they're not always really truly scientifically correct terms to be adding. So I don't know yet. I have to look into that.
Well, it's a bit thinner, and there's also that egg shape, and that's pretty much what they could tell me, the you know, the distributors, the Crystal Tones.
Yeah.
So on this CD that we collaborated on, it just seems so magical to me that we had the transmission of these ancient relationships of tones, and then Eric was able to layer them in different configurations. And then for my part, I was given additional sound transmissions from the Divine Mother, so that when I sang, that it became a diaphanous layered effect. And what I get when people listen to it, it's not a usual experience, just like inner visions. It's not something that you can put in your car 80 miles an hour and say, wow, that's great. It really is something that these ancient scales work on a much deeper level. It's not entertainment. It's not something you can really cognize.
There are entertaining elements in the right setting, but that was not actually what the intent is or designed as uplifting journeys, one could say, for a spiritual upliftment or to be more in tune with oneself and the universe.
So you have been a composer and actually written movie scores and really absolutely beautiful music, and now you're in a realm where you're designing soundscapes for healing. It's just fascinating the integration that must go on within your realm to make this to make the bridge for everyday people to be drawn to listen to something that's not in their average genre that they're hearing on the radio.
Well, I believe there's a coherency that's produced from this music that I've been working with, and then that reminds people and basically activates a higher level of coherency in themselves, and then they come into a better equilibrium from that, and sort of how I would describe that process. When you listen to tones and sounds and intervals that are found in nature, our consciousness, our body temple, our memory patterns, our Akashic records recognize these mathematical patterns as being indigenous to coherent creation. And then that puts one in potentially more in line, let's say, with the nature of wellness.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying it's healing, but it would certainly trigger the innate healing response in a person so that the Creator's energy can flow through them, and then that's how healing occurs.
So
I believe it's unblocking.
They can just accept the invitation to listen.
Yes.
To actually drop in and listen and to relax their sensory system and their judgmental and their usual screening consciousness for their music and entertainment. Actually, the proof is in their bodily response, the depth of the relaxation, and the little doors that open of remembering. That's what I'm finding, the responses to the sound healing media that is out there that does. It's not just synthesized music that is relaxing, you know that feel,
yeah.
But ones that are actually dropping in with the pure tones that ignite these codes within the body of remembrance.
And some of these codes can be ignited with numerical codes, as I'm working with a lot of that.
Aha, tell us
creating
about that.
Tones that are based on ancient gematria values, which we used on your CD. I have some of that also on my Inner Vision CD. A lot of those notes are based on special sonic codes of number sequences where the numbers have meanings based on translating ancient alphabets into number codes or alphanumerics. And that's on your CD, too, the piece that the solfeggio was based on. The two notes that we used are ancient gematria notes, the 396 and the 528 hertz as a perfect fourth drone that you sang over. Those two notes have tremendous amount of meanings within Hebrew and Greek ancient scriptures. And I believe that those numbers have the ability to awaken in us deep relationships to creation, the Creator and creation, which to me is the point.
My daughter said that particular song put her into a trance, which she wasn't sure she liked. She's a teenager.
Well, we could certainly have put a beat to it and done the same thing and achieved some wonderful results with music that has a groove to it, but that wasn't what we were focusing on. But that certainly is possible. It doesn't have, you know, music of that one might say of a healing nature certainly can have rhythms because the rhythms are very powerful. Mm-hmm. I spent most of my professional music life, which was over 40 years, playing music from all over the world, different cultures, and specializing in it. Lately, I have not been doing that on these CDs. I'm looking at different aspects of music. But eventually, I want to get back to combining those.
Well, speaking of the world music, you actually brought in something that is new and never been seen before but had elements of the ancient sounds with Mark Deutsch's The Zantar. That was a stroke of genius. We're going to play a piece in just a moment, but tell us what the Bizantar is.
Well, Mark Deutsch was a jazz and a musician who also was very proficient on the acoustic bass, and he also studied Indian music and was proficient on the sitar. So he designed an acoustic bass with five strings instead of four that has pickups on it, and it has a whole set of sympathetic strings that can be tuned like tunable strings on a sitar, but done in the deep registers on a bass. So he tunes, I forgot exactly how many sympathetic tunable strings he has in addition to the five main strings. So he tunes all of that up and explores all kinds of amazing overtone and undertone ratio music and microtonal music, and in other words, notes that fall between the cracks of what people are normally used to listening to. And he explores these extremely interesting, diverse tuning systems. And he plays with all kinds of virtuoso technique, both pizzicato, plucking the strings, and with a bow, which is called arco. In other words, playing like you would a cello or a violin with a bow. And he combines these techniques and plays all over the neck of the bass, away up by the bridge, and gets all kinds of harmonics that sing. It's absolutely extraordinary. It has more overtones than just about anything acoustically next to the gong. It's an extraordinary instrument, and I was completely blown away by his playing.
Now, did you ask him to play in a particular key or to tune his instrument for this recording?
Yeah, I gave him the pitches I wanted and the tunings ahead of time, and we tuned some of them to my crystal bowls, so in case we wanted to mix. I just fortunately have a set of crystal bowls that are actually in tune with whole number ratios. they're usually, that's not the case, because there's a tremendous variance from one bowl to another. Even all the A bowls, you have a room with 1,000 A bowls made by the same company, and the pitches are all a little bit different. So I fortunately got a set of really wonderfully in tune bowls, and so I had him tuned to that so that all the harmonics on his Bizantar would be in tune with the crystal bowls.
Beautiful.
And that's why we were able to make chords out of my crystal bowls, which I have a set of white keys, like from F up to E, like white keys on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And all the chords had to be able to be played only with white keys in different combinations.
Mm-hmm.
And because those bowls were so in tune, we were able to create chord progressions that sounded fascinating that way.
Let's play the piece, The Homecoming, from our collaborative CD, As Above, So Below. And again, we have Randy Masters here, Artist in Residence. His website is universalsong.net. And this particular piece features the Bizantar. It's called The Homecoming. And Mark played in the studio for many hours, and then I took the piece and did a storyboard, and my impressions were that the Divine Mother is calling us to come home, and this is her plea for us to come back to the light with her. So we'll go ahead and hear that cut, The Homecoming, off the CD, As Above, So Below. that was the homecoming from As Above, So Below, a CD project with Randy Masters setting the ancient tunings and scales and instruments, a variety of instruments, and he and Eric Bates were engineering them to make a landscape of healing, a soundscape. That particular piece featured Mark Deutsch, the creator and player of the one and only in the world Bazantar. If you're interested in finding out more about the Bazantar, you can find him at bazantar.com, B-A-Z-A-N-T-A-R.com. I just received an email. He has three different concerts coming up, September 22nd, one in San Rafael. He'll be joining some other world-class musicians to accompany a mystical mantric singer, Yuan Miao. I apologize for any pronunciation problems there. Then he'll be playing at the Red Poppy Art House Saturday, October 6th in San Francisco. And the most interesting one to me is they'll be doing a tunnel concert in the Marin Headlands. That'll be Saturday, October 13th at 9:15 p.m. So in the tunnels, in the dark of the evening, a cave journey with Mark Deutsch, Matthew Montfort, Jaron Lanier. So three different wonderful ways to hear Mark Deutsch on his Bazantar
live. He might be about Mark's website.
Bazantar.com. Bazantar, Randy? How does he like to say
that? Says Bazantar.
The Bazantar. Bazantar. Again, we have Randy Masters here, sound healing leader for 20 years, internationally known for mathematical correlations on all levels, products, writings, and we welcome you back, Randy.
Thank you.
Hi.
So, Randy, I was curious for, again, as sort of more of a layman, I know anecdotally that sound healing has been going on for thousands of years. I actually heard that Pythagoras went to Egypt and was trained to become a sound healer.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody who's never heard of that concept, can you explain how it works and how does somebody know they're actually getting healed by sound?
Well, it's been happening even when they just listen to music of a lot of different styles without ever having the word healing be mentioned. Beautiful music or music that moves somebody rhythmically or emotionally or melodically or the colors, or maybe they like the tone color of like some wonderful artist that just the sound of their instrument is wonderful. So healing can be putting one back into harmony or having people get back in touch with oneself. That can happen emotionally. Of course, music is noted for you listen to a certain piece of music and immediately you can alter your mood and maybe even carry that mood throughout the day by relating to the music, even when it's not playing, just by remembering that you heard it. Then there's music in the environment as background that creates a type of ambience that's good for things. I mean, even when it's good for digestion of a meal, there's a level of healing because it's harmonious. It's a lot different than listening to hard rock music when you're trying to digest a meal. Those are kind of moving in opposite directions. So the scope of it is enormous. And because of a lot of people looking for ways to get themselves back in line with themselves and with life and with creation, sound healing is talked about. But there's a lot of music that does that just based on using patterns that are harmonious, that put the body into good rhythms, good biorhythms. In India, they have the day broken up into three-hour segments, and they have special ragas and scales that are geared to the mood of every three-hour segment of the entire day. So you could literally be in tune 24/7 and only listen to music that fits certain time slots that go along with the electromagnetics and the various flow of the nature spirits and such as the day progresses.
Kind of a circadian raga.
Yeah, absolutely. So it can happen anywhere from a tone to singing to toning to chanting melodies with different kinds of syllables, either ancient languages or something that somebody makes up, to listening to tuning forks and playing with them in and around the body or on the body, bells, gongs, crystal bowls, Tibetan bowls, listening to bird songs, for instance, it's extremely healing. Listening to crickets and the rhythm of crickets and their pulsation, dolphin sounds, anything in nature, listening to waterfalls and the tune and the different tones that are given off by waterfalls and creeks. So there's sounds in nature, and then there's sounds made by instruments that humans have made. And any combination of all of that, it's so inclusive, it's staggering. Does that give you some ideas?
Yeah, I'm remembering actually being in various places in the world. One was the festival of Zapopan down in Guadalajara, standing in a room with probably 1,000 people. I didn't know what was going on. I just walked into the room. It was a church. And all of a sudden, in unison, the room just broke into kind of a chanting song. And that harmony of just 1,000 naked voices was incredibly mm-hmm. transcendent and uplifting and certainly healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Very entraining. Randy, you've made lots of sets of tuning forks harmonically tuned to some of these sets of frequencies in nature. Did you want to talk about those and how you use them and teach people to use them?
Yes, well, I've done things like various ancient tunings and historical tunings, like something that Mozart would use, or Bach, for instance. That's one type of Baroque music. I have them tuned to the intervals that are found in a lot of the crop circles and ratios. I have them tuned to the rainbow, to the Dinshaw-Gaudioli color system, overtones, undertones, ones where I've converted a lot of the ratios of sacred geometry into a scale. I've taken Pythagoras's Lambdoma matrix of 256 notes that he taught about, and I've made chimes and tuning forks with different ratios there. So one can approach it by exploring historical tunings. One can approach it by things like the ones I have tuned to physics and sacred geometry. I've taken the Fibonacci series that nature uses to create with, and I've made tuning fork sets based on Fibonacci numbers and octavized Fibonacci numbers. So there's the realms of science and sound. There's realms of ancient tunings. There's realms of, like, I've also done star systems where I've converted the frequency of the distance of stars to the Earth into sound for what that distance converts into sound using a certain formula. So I can do just about any known stars as once I know what they're like.
Numbers,
I use Sirius,
right?
And Pleiades and Aldebaran and Polaris and on like that.
How can somebody hear some of this music?
Well, I'm working on some projects so that I can get this out in a coherent and meaningful way.
Do you have a website, don't you? SacredWindChimes.com?
Uh-huh. I have some of these done in outdoor hanging wind chimes on the SacredWindChimes.com site.
So people can listen to those on the Internet, sacredwindchimes.com.
Yeah, and that has the rainbow and certain ones based on sacred geometry. And I do, you know, ancient scales, and that the things that I do are very unusual and are not duplicated by other companies.
Now, on your main website, I remember that you do have a little video clip on there. What is that featuring?
That features what are called desktop chimes, which are chimes that you can put on a tabletop or something and play them with mallets.
Okay.
And they're basically anywhere from half-inch to 5/8-inch solid aluminum dowels that are made of a special alloy aluminum that are tuned. And so you can play them like bells, and it doesn't take any musical training to do that.
So people want to hear how these ancient tuning sound and how it feels. So that would be universalsong.net. And then you would go to the
desktop chimes,
and then press video over
mm-hmm.
on the left.
And there's a little movie, and they can see some of these.
Is that amazing? You can see.
Like I've done the hydrogen spectral lines, and I've taken all the triangles in the Sri Yantra, the famous geometrical mantra that's geometrical yantra mantra that's over 10,000 years old, and converted that all into sound. So they're really interesting, intriguing projects.
And the Tree of Life, the Kabbalah, I understand that you're now doing tune-ups on people with the codes.
And training people to be able to embrace the qualities and activate the Tree of Life in their system. And these qualities, which are ascension qualities, like truth and beauty and peace and grace and things like that. And by having these qualities more activated in their field, it gives people a more coherent, loving experience. integrus field, and they become better receptors for higher light codes and also better disseminators of the light codes that they contain.
Well, that's amazing.
I'm training practitioners on how to do these things with tuning forks, and I'm also training acupuncturists on how to use tuning forks.
Instead of needles? Okay. That's meant to
Well, or fun. In addition to needles. This depends on, and also acupuncturists that use lasers. And I make tuning forks tuned and sound to what the frequencies of the laser lights are.
Amazing. Sound and light and color are
mm-hmm.
so interrelated.
When do you have time to eat, Randy?
Oh, I enjoy eating. I eat very well, and I take a lot of time to enjoy my meals most of the time.
Harmonically tuned meals.
And then I get back to work,
right?
You know. But I do eat. I mean, I meditate. Eating is like a meditation and appreciation for creation, so I definitely plan to keep going, so
well,
I do that.
You know Randy is to love him, and Randy, we thank you for being our guest tonight. And
thank
we
you.
Wanted to tell our listeners that Randy will be presenting at the 2nd International Sound Healing Conference in Santa Fe, New Mexico, November 8th through 12th. I will be there as well, Jan Sircone. My website is musicforjoyandhealing.com. Other esteemed presenters at the conference will be David Darling, Jonathan and Andy Goldman, Don Campbell, Masaru Emoto, Lane Redman, Joshua Leeds, Barbara Crow, Jeffrey Thompson, the whole gang will be there. Any announcements that you have, Matt, before I...
Well, for those of you who live in the Sonoma County area, in my little store, Ordinary Miracles, this coming Sunday, we're going to have some wonderful music featuring Day and Kai, who some of you in the Santa Cruz area may know him, and those who like the music of Keith Greninger. He's that blind guy with the long blonde hair that plays every instrument on the planet beautifully. So starting at 3 o'clock, we'll have three local songwriters, Annie Rose, Gary Moran, and Chris Hansen, playing songwriters in the round. And at 4 o'clock, Dan Kyle will do a concert set, and that's this coming Sunday, the 16th, here at Ordinary Miracles. And you can contact us through my website, mattkramer.com, mattkramer.com. And back to you, Jan.
And coming up in December, here in Sonoma County, I will be hosting and co-presenting with our guest tonight, Randy Masters, a workshop on the divine mysteries with the archetype feminine of Mary Magdalene. And Randy, did you want to just say a couple words about that?
Well, there's a lot to be explored in exploring the divine feminine, and that also involves science and involves spirituality and it involves history, and it also involves where we're headed as a species, because we must balance the male and the female and rise to a higher occasion of a more awakened, Christed, anointed male and female presence on this planet. So this class is dedicated toward that process of awakening and deepening our connection with spirit and really regaining our birthright of balancing the inner male and female.
Well said. And that will be presented by a male and female, Randy Masters and myself, Jan Sircone. So we're just about ready to sign off. Thank you, Randy, so much.
Thank you for having me.
For joining us. It was great fun.
Thank those of you who've been listening, and thank you, Seth and Don, for giving us a little extra time tonight to stretch out our show a bit.
Thank you, and good night, Matt.
We'll see you next Wednesday, 9 o'clock. Thank you, Jan.
Thanks for listening. Our last song tonight is The Oneness of All, the Tao, from our album As Above, So Below, and we dedicate this to our fellow planetary travelers in Indonesia who are going through a post-earthquake shock. So we send them vibrational love and healing through this piece and through our hearts. Good night.